Let's have a short prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you that you have made yourself known to us and given us a clear record of that in your word, the Bible. Help us this morning as we turn to it to understand more of your purposes and your love. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I'm sure we've all noticed that we live in a world where there are a great deal of promises made. A national newspaper article recently said, Theresa May promises orderly Brexit. The whole Daily Mail last week reported on the East Riding leader, Stephen Parnaby, saying that he wasn't going to cut basic services. The headline said, Council bosses promise as more cuts are expected to be on the way. Well, we'll see whether those promises are met or not. But I wonder, have you ever made a promise or had a promise made to you? Anybody like to tell us about a promise that they've made? Anybody think of a promise that they've made? Or can you think of a promise? Think of a promise at school or anything like that? Or you've ever said to somebody at home, you know, I promise I'm going to do this. Or somebody says, will you do this? You say, yes, I'll promise. Well, we all do that from time to time, don't we? And of course, at the start of our service, we had some banns of marriage read out. That's where in weddings, two couples are going to make promises to each other, promises to love and to cherish for better and for worse. So lots of promises are made. But we also know that sadly, in this broken world, not all promises are kept. However, in the Bible reading this morning from the book of Acts, we heard of promises made that have certainly been kept and have great importance for us in 2018. In Acts chapter 13, we sort of listen into a talk that was given by Jesus' messenger apostle Paul. And he's sharing the good news of Jesus in the city of Antioch just a short time after Jesus was brought back from the dead. Now, Paul was speaking in the synagogue, the place where those familiar with the Old Testament Bible gathered. They gathered to pray and to listen to the Old Testament being read. Paul had actually been invited there by the synagogue leaders in order to speak a message of encouragement. And what he does is summarize important parts of the Old Testament. And by doing that, he shows that what God promised there has now come true. So, Paul stood up, we read, and motioning with his hand said, People of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out of it. So Paul goes on to explain that the people were in the desert for 40 years. And then God gave them the land that he had promised to them. He then raised up people called judges who led the people. And then he raised up prophets who brought God's message. And then the people asked for a king. And whilst God warned them that that might not always be a good thing, he gave them Saul, who actually turned out to be a pretty mixed bag. And then we hear, and when he had removed Saul, God raised up David to be their king. David, of whom he said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Now, some of us were at the special holiday club that we had last week. And at the holiday club, we were thinking about King David, how God had chosen him, how God had given him a good heart that wanted to be with God, and how God had used him to defeat the giant Goliath, and how God had given the people a time of peace. Well, David, on the whole, was a good king, though he did make mistakes and needed God to forgive him. But David was very special because he was part of God's plan. God was going to provide a perfect king for his people, and that king would come from David's family line. So Paul announces in his talk, of this man's children, David, God has brought to you a saviour, Jesus, just as he promised. So all that had gone before was pointing forward to Jesus and what was going to happen to him and what he could do for those who would believe in him. Now, God promises in various places that through David's family, there would be a saviour or a rescuer. And at Holiday Club, we had one of these verses as our memory verse. We had lots of games and activities to help us to remember it. It actually comes from the prophet Micah, and then it's quoted in Matthew's Gospel. Out of Bethlehem will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now, in that sermon in the synagogue in Antioch, we hear of some more of those promises. And just to give us a bit of a hand this morning, I could do with three people to come and give me a hand to think about these three promises. Anybody like to come and give us a hand? Going to come and give us a hand? You can give me a hand, thank you. Anybody else going to come and help me? Anybody else? Well, you can come and help me, that's great. You going to come and help me? You come, yeah, I want your help. Come on, you can do it, Jesse. You come and help me. Anybody else? Got anybody else? Well, you come, what's your name? Jessica, you come here, Jessica, because Jessica can be our runner and find out. Now, there's one of these promises is in an envelope, and it's not far from where you are now. So if you turn round and walk, not all the way around, just halfway, another quarter turn back that way, and then walk up those steps, see if you can find it in a white envelope. Ah, you found it. Excellent. Do you want to open it up? Good, that's it. We don't need the envelope. Lovely, thank you. So why don't you give that to me? Because this is one of the promises that it says in that reading. It said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." This is from the Old Testament, from a psalm 1,000 years before Jesus. And it's telling us that Jesus is the person who shares the very nature of God, God the Father. And this king promised by God the Father is not just a human being, but God himself come to live on the earth as a man. And that's proved by him being raised from the dead. So that's the first promise that we hear came true. And there's another one. So if you just walk forward and move a little bit towards people here, just near that seat. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Getting warmer, keep going. Warmer, warmer, keep going. Warmer, warmer. Stop. Back a bit. Now, Jessica's not yet fully grown, so you can probably just about reach. You can just look, you see this Bible. If you come to where I am, and you can just see something sticking out from that book. Can you see it? Ah, brilliant. So pull it out and open that one up as well and see what's inside there. Very good. Let's see what that one says. It says, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Now, those words come from the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years, probably 700 years before Jesus came. And it's reminding us that all that King David pointed forward to has now come true in Jesus. It was promised to David that his kingdom would be a kingdom that lasts forever. Now, this is a reality because Jesus is alive. That's the second promise. Now we need another one. So I'll give you more instructions. Is that all right? So if you come somewhere I am and walk right down the middle, keep going until you get to the cross piece, and then stop when you get in the middle, and then stop, that's it, and then walk forward now. Well, so turn left, yeah, walk that way. And you can see where Jasmine and Chloe were baptised a few minutes ago. If you walk round to where the steps are, can you see another white envelope anywhere, if you look carefully? Near the font, near the bit where we were, where the water was. Can you see it? Ah, she's found it. Brilliant. You come to the front. You're a very good hunter and finder, aren't you? Very good. Let's see what's in that one then. Thank you. This one says, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption or decay." Now that is another promise from the Bible. It comes from a psalm, again, 1,000 years before Jesus. And what it's pointing forward to is that the perfect king in the line of David would not lie in the ground after he died and his body just kind of waste away, but he would be raised from the dead. And that's the great truth about Jesus. He'd been put to death, as our reading explained. Pilate had him executed because the people didn't understand or believe what the prophets had said about him. And then he was taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. Jesus had died. But that wasn't the end of him. Let's say thank you to Jessica for her help. Thank you. So give her a round of applause. Well done. So Jesus had been executed, but that wasn't it. For David, Paul says in his talk, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, died and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. That is, his body just wasted away in the ground. But the one whom God raised up, that is Jesus, did not see corruption. See, the promises of God had come true. God had kept his promise through Jesus. So then our reading explains what that all means and why it's so important. It's great news. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who respect God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. You see, Jesus has come in order to bring salvation, that is rescue. Rescue from the most serious problem that we human beings have. Now, of course, when you think about the human race, we have many issues, many problems, from conflicts and climate change to ill health, economic and personal issues and other things. But our biggest problem is the problem that we have with the God who has made us. The basic problem from which so many other problems in the world can be traced is that we've all turned away from God, and that cuts us off from him. So as we heard in Chloe and Jasmine's baptism service, sin separates us from God. But as Jesus died on the cross, God was paying the price that we owed him but couldn't pay, so that our problem could be dealt with. As we read, let it be known to you, therefore, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. All that people are guilty of, our failings and shortcomings, our turning away from God, and our failure to love our neighbours as we should, can be forgiven. Our sins need no longer stand against us, because God in Jesus has dealt with them and brought forgiveness for them. And that means, as we read, by Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. In other words, our own efforts cannot free us. We cannot earn forgiveness of our sins, but Jesus can give it to us. If we believe in Jesus, then we can be freed. Literally, we can be justified. That is, cleansed and seen as pure in God's sight. Set free to live in partnership with God, who is at work in his world, giving us purpose and meaning and life that lasts forever. I wonder who needs to be reminded of that this morning. I wonder who needs to think about that, maybe even for the first time. And maybe there's someone here this morning who's ready to turn to Jesus and put their confidence in him because of what he's done to bring us back to God. Well, our world is full of promises, from politicians to couples marrying and lots in between. But the promises that we know that will always be kept are those of God. The promises God made in the Old Testament about King David, hundreds, a thousand years before, were fulfilled in King Jesus. And those promises are vital now, all these years later. Of David's children, God has brought to Israel a Saviour, Jesus, just as he promised. Let it be known to you, therefore, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is justified. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and precious promises. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh to appreciate what they mean. Give us grace if we believed for many years. Help us if we're working this all through and thinking about it. Help us to see more of Jesus, we ask. And we pray in his name. Amen.